What if I told you that the world's most famous space company just secretly transformed into an AI data center?
Right. Or that a Nobel Prize-winning chemist jumping ship to a rival just, helped erase hundreds of billions of dollars from Google's value in a single afternoon.
Yeah, welcome to today's deep dive. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2026. And well, you might be looking at your portfolio this week wondering if the artificial intelligence bubble just spectacularly burst.
Oh, absolutely.
Because our mission today is to decode this staggering, basically a $500 trillion wipeout in the tech market over just the last few days.
Yeah, and to get to the bottom of this, we're synthesizing a really intriguing stack of sources today. We're pulling, breaking financial context from CNBC, Reuters, The Motley Fool.
And combining that with some deep stock analysis, right, from TradingView and IND Money.
Exactly. Plus, we're factoring in some macroeconomic reports from The Guardian regarding the Federal Reserve, and surprisingly enough, a technical guide on how to write podcast scripts from a company called OBSBOT.
Wait, a guide on podcast scripts?
I know, it sounds weird, but it's actually going to help us understand the psychology of global markets right now.
Huh. Okay, well, look, the truth behind this market panic is it's much stranger than a simple bubble bursting. It involves hidden infrastructure, global oil diplomacy, and just the really messy reality of building the
It
future.
really does.
But before we can understand why the absolute titans of the tech world fell so hard, we need to establish the immediate reality of what happened on Monday, June 22nd. Because, this wasn't a universal market-wide crash.
No, not at all. It was more like a severe splitting of the old economy and the new economy.
Right. I mean, the Dow Jones actually went up 0.4%.
Yeah.
And it was buoyed by these old-school industrial heavyweights, like Caterpillar, the heavy machinery company. They jumped 3.7%.
Which, I mean, that feels entirely counterintuitive when the headlines are just screaming about a tech meltdown. But to understand Caterpillar's jump, you have to look at the global commodities market. Oil prices dropped significantly. Brent crude fell to, I think, $77.90 a barrel following the news of a 60-day U.S.-Iran ceasefire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which included a roadmap for oil sales licenses. So that geopolitical de-escalation really eased global supply fears.
Right.
But the specific mechanism driving Caterpillar up is that cheaper oil drastically lowers the heavy construction costs. Pouring concrete, moving earth, running all that diesel equipment to build these sprawling data centers.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
So the companies making the bulldozers are having a great day. But then you look over at the Nasdaq and it tumbled 1.2%, dragged down almost entirely by just two mega stocks.
Two massive ones.
Right. Alphabet, Google's parent company, dropped roughly 6 to 7%. That erased about $250 billion in value. And the newly public SpaceX plummeted 10 to 16% recently, wiping out over $227 billion.
Yeah, it's brutal.
So why is old school heavy machinery going up on global peace hopes while the supposed, future of humanity tech companies are plummeting? Is the market telling us that digging in the dirt is suddenly more profitable than artificial intelligence?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the market is not rejecting artificial intelligence itself. Investors are rejecting the immediate terrifying cost of artificial intelligence.
Ah, the sticker shock.
Exactly. The underlying technology is advancing faster than ever, but what we're seeing is the bills suddenly coming due. The companies building the shovels and excavators, like Caterpillar, they're getting paid cold, hard cash right now to build the physical data centers.
Right, they get paid today.
Yeah, but the tech titans commissioning those data centers are footing an infrastructure bill so immense that Wall Street is experiencing just profound sticker shock.
Which brings up a really crucial question about what that bill actually looks like.
Yeah.
Because if we zoom in on Alphabet, we can see they are paying a monumental price right now in terms of both human and financial capital. Let's start with a brain drain, because this just feels unprecedented to me. In a single week, Google lost two of the most important figures in modern technology to their direct rivals.
Yeah, the human capital loss cannot be overstated here. First, Noam Shazier left for OpenAI.
Right.
And just to give you the mechanics of why that matters, he is the co-author of the landmark 2017 paper, Attention is All You Need.
Which is huge, right?
Huge. That paper literally introduced the transformer architecture. Before transformers, AI processed language sequentially, like word by word, which was incredibly slow.
Oh, boy.
But the transformer allowed the AI to look at an entire sentence or a paragraph all at once, understanding context and relationship simultaneously. I mean, it is the fundamental engine that makes modern generative AI possible.
Wow.
And Google paid $2.7 billion just 2 years ago to put him back to Coley Gemini, and now he's gone.
That is insane. And then literally days later, John Jumper leaves for Anthropic. He's the 2024 Nobel laureate in chemistry. But look, I'm a little hazy on the connection between chemistry and an AI tech giant. Why does a search engine company care about a chemist?
Well, because of AlphaFold 2, which Jumper co-created at Google DeepMind.
Oh, the protein folding thing.
Exactly. Proteins are the fundamental building blocks of life, and they fold into these incredibly complex origami shapes. For decades, predicting how a protein would fold was one of the hardest problems in biology.
And AlphaFold 2 just solved it.
Basically, yes, using AI. By predicting these shapes instantly, it accelerates pharmaceutical drug discovery by years, if not decades.
That's a while.
So losing the visionary who built the architecture every AI uses, plus a Nobel-winning pioneer of applied AI, it accelerates this really dangerous cross-pollination of Google's best ideas straight to their competitors.
Right. That is a staggering human cost.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned an unprecedented financial squeeze happening at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Alphabet just raised $84.75 billion in equity.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, that's adding to the $141 billion in debt and equity they've raised since last October. That's so much money.
It is. And that aggressive capital raising effectively halts their stock buyback programs. For years, investors loved Alphabet because the company routinely bought back its own stock, right? Which reduced the number of shares in circulation and artificially boosted the value of the shares investors held.
And that era is just over.
That era is over. The spending they are projecting is completely rewriting their financial profile. Their 2026 capital expenditure guidance.
Wait, CapEx, that's the physical stuff, right?
Yeah, the money they plan to spend on physical assets. Servers, land, cooling systems. That is projected at $180 to $190 billion.
Jeez. So what does that actually do to their bottom line? If they're spending nearly $200 billion on physical infrastructure, how much is actually left over?
Well, that level of spending compresses what we call free cash flow from $73.3 billion down to an estimated $20.5 billion.
Wow, that's a massive drop.
Yeah, free cash flow is simply the money a business generates after paying all its operating expenses and CapEx. It's the money left in the register at the end of the day. A drop of over $50 billion in pure cash generation makes institutional investors sweat.
I bet.
Especially when Meta is looking like a much safer bet for 2026, because Meta is trading at a cheaper forward price-to-earnings ratio.
Wait, let's translate that for a second. What does a forward PE ratio actually tell us about Meta versus Alphabet?
Think of a forward PE ratio as how much you are willing to pay today for one single dollar of a company's projected profit next year.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right now, investors are having to pay $27 for every dollar of Alphabet's future profit, but only $23 for Meta's. Meta is simply on sale compared to Google.
Oh, I see.
Plus, Meta recently launched MuseSpark, which is a closed-source AI model that is reportedly outperforming Google's Gemini 3.1 in key benchmarks. Add in the fact that Alphabet is still fighting the Department of Justice's antitrust appeals over, you know, potentially breaking off Google Chrome.
Right, the DOJ lawsuit.
Yeah, and the panic starts to seem entirely rational.
Okay, so the talent is walking out the door, the free cash flow is vanishing, and the competition is cheaper and faster. Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because I want to push back on this narrative of doom. Are investors just misreading a brilliant long-term play as a short-term failure?
That's a great point. Let me offer a perspective that changes how we look at that vanished cash flow. Think back to Reliance Jio building out their 4G mobile network in India during the 2010s.
Oh, yeah. They basically gave the service away, right?
Exactly. They suffered years of terrifying short-term cash burn, literally giving away cellular service for free just to build out thousands of cell towers. They endured extreme financial pain to build a physical infrastructure monopoly that eventually became insurmountable.
Right.
Alphabet is doing the exact same thing, but for global compute power.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. So they're suffering today to own the toll roads of tomorrow.
Exactly. And the underlying numbers support that long-term strength. If you look past the terrifying CapEx, Alphabet's Q1 total revenue is actually up 22% to $109.9 billion.
Which is huge.
And Google Cloud revenue alone is up 63%. But the most revealing metric is their contracted backlog. They have $460 billion in signed contracts waiting to be fulfilled.
Wait, 460 billion. That is more than they generate in an entire calendar year.
Yeah. I mean, a company doesn't raise $85 billion in equity when they already have cash in the bank unless their customer demand is vastly outstripping their physical capacity to supply it.
Oh, so they're basically scrambling to keep up.
They are pouring concrete and buying graphics processing units as fast as humanly possible because the enterprise customers are already waiting with their checkbooks.
Right.
Smart money recognizes this transition phase. Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's famously conservative firm, just committed $10 billion to Alphabet's recent private placement.
And Buffett doesn't really do volatile tech.
No, Berkshire doesn't gamble on volatile tech. They invest when they see a long-term cash-generating monopoly on the other side of a heavy construction phase.
Okay, so Alphabet is essentially bleeding cash to build the roads and bridges of the AI future. But they aren't the only ones trying to build this infrastructure. Let's look at the other major anchor dragging down the NASDAQ this week, SpaceX.
Right, SpaceX.
Because the company that wants to put humanity on Mars is secretly facing the exact same identity crisis as Google.
The transformation of SpaceX is really remarkable. It started with their initial public offering on June 12th, which is the biggest in history, raising $75 billion.
Yeah.
But they structured it in a highly unusual way. They only floated a tiny 4.2% of their total shares to the public.
Look, I'm stuck on the mechanics of what happened next. I understand that floating a tiny sliver of shares means there's very little supply. But why did the stock violently spike 67% to $225, briefly giving SpaceX a $3 trillion valuation, and then crash just as hard? What actually caused that whiplash?
Well, it comes down to a mechanical phenomenon in the options market called maintaining delta neutrality.
Okay, walk me through that.
Imagine you are a bookie taking bets on a horse race. If everyone bets on one horse, you are exposed to massive risk if that horse wins. To protect yourself, you go place your own bets on that same horse at another casino.
Right, to hedge your bets.
Exactly. In the stock market, market makers sell call options to investors who are betting the stock will go up. Because everyone wanted a piece of SpaceX, millions of call options were purchased.
Oh, I see.
So to hedge their massive risk, those market makers were forced to buy the actual underlying SpaceX stock. This created an artificial buying frenzy, a short squeeze, propelling the price to that $3 trillion valuation.
But then gravity takes over. Once the retail buying frenzy slows down, the market makers don't need all that underlying stock anymore, so they just dump it.
Correct. And when the price starts falling, panicked investors start buying put options, betting the stock will drop further. To hedge against those downside bets, the market makers have to short the stock, creating a self-fulfilling, mechanical downward spiral that has absolutely nothing to do with SpaceX's actual business.
Wow. And while the stock price is trapped in this mechanical spiral, we look at what SpaceX is actually doing with all the money they raised, and it's genuinely confusing.
It really is.
They're acting as a financing vehicle for Elon Musk's broader AI ambitions. They're spending $12.7 billion on data centers for xAI. They're issuing $20 billion in debt. And they just bought an AI coding startup called Cursor for $60 billion in stock, which heavily dilutes their own shareholders.
Yeah, it's a lot to process.
I mean, why does a rocket company need an AI coding startup?
Because SpaceX is no longer just a space company. Think of them as a cosmic internet service provider. The rockets are merely the delivery trucks. The actual product is the invisible web of computing power they are building in low Earth orbit. They bought an AI coding startup because they are trying to automate the immensely complex software engineering required to run thousands of interconnected satellites.
So the space business enables the AI business.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? It's like an optical illusion. We thought investors were buying a ticket to Mars, but they actually bought a Trojan horse for a global AI data center.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the fundamentals of that cosmic infrastructure are just breathtaking. Look at Starlink. They have 12 million subscribers and are deploying Generation 3 satellites with massive data capacity.
Right.
Then you look at the delivery trucks themselves. Starship, utilizing their new Raptor 3 engines, is aiming to drop the cost of a rocket launch below $20 million.
That's incredibly cheap for space.
Right. By vertically integrating the cheapest space launches in human history with a global satellite network, they want to either host artificial intelligence compute power directly in space or connect ground-based data centers across the globe with zero latency.
And they're already monetizing this, right? They've secured massive GPU as service leasing contracts, like $45 billion with Anthropic, $11 billion with Google, and $6.3 billion with Reflection AI.
They are leasing out their immense compute power, yeah, but there is a severe vulnerability in those contracts. They all contain 90 to 180-day cancellation clauses.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Musk has openly stated that SpaceX might reclaim that compute power if they need it for their own internal AI training. So what looks like guaranteed multi-decade revenue could actually vanish with just 3 to 6 months' notice.
That is wild. They can just pull the rug on their biggest clients. And investors are going to have to decide if they believe this grand vision very soon, because there are upcoming lockup expirations in July and August.
Yeah, that's going to be huge.
That's when early insiders, who own the other 95% of SpaceX stock, are finally legally allowed to sell. If those insiders decide to cash out, the supply of shares will flood the market, and this price could plummet even further.
It will be the ultimate stress test. Institutional investors will have to decide if they are holding shares in an overpriced transportation company or the backbone of the global AI cloud.
So if we step back, we have Alphabet and SpaceX, right?
Sure.
Two fundamentally sound companies with visionary technology, causing market panic because their short-term spending is unpredictable and, honestly, terrifying.
Very terrifying.
So when the biggest companies in the world are breaking the linear logic of the stock market, who steps in to calm the room and regain control of the narrative?
Well, that responsibility falls squarely on the Federal Reserve, and specifically the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. He is navigating a deeply complex macroeconomic environment right now. Just this week, he held interest rates steady at 3.5 to 3.75%. He maintained this rate despite intense political pressure from Donald Trump to implement cuts. And just to be clear, based on the macroeconomic reports we are citing, we aren't taking any political stance on the administration's demands. We're simply observing the pressures Warsh is navigating.
Absolutely. Just reporting the facts there.
Mm.
And the data he is looking at is a really delicate balancing act. Core inflation is hovering at 2.9%, which is stubbornly above their 2% target, while unemployment remains relatively steady at 4.3%.
Right.
But the really interesting thing Warsh is doing isn't just about tweaking interest rates. He's actually changing how the Fed talks.
Yes, he is initiating a sweeping communication overhaul. Warsh is setting up 5 new task forces to completely reevaluate how the central bank communicates with the global public.
Interesting.
He has openly stated that the Fed shouldn't be obsessing in its press conferences over the volatile daily prices of a barrel of oil or a dozen eggs. The primary goal is to manage broader economic expectations and essentially rebuild institutional trust.
You know, reading through these macro reports about Warsh's communication overhaul, I was actually reminded of that technical guide we reviewed from OBSBT about writing podcast scripts.
Oh, right. The OBSBOT guide.
Yeah, it sounds crazy to compare global economics to a podcast. But the core lesson of that guide is that audiences immediately panic and tune out if they lose the narrative thread. A good script requires a clear goal, a logical structure, and deliberate pacing.
Exactly.
Think about it. If we just rambled randomly today, you listening to this would turn it off. And that is exactly what is happening to the global economy. Alphabet raises $85 billion out of nowhere. SpaceX pivots into a $60 billion coding startup. They broke their own corporate scripts.
Right.
Is Kevin Warsh essentially just trying to write a better podcast script for the global economy?
This raises an important question, and it's an incredibly apt connection. Markets, just like podcast listeners, absolutely crave structure and predictability. The underlying data for these massive companies...
Like Alphabet's backlog.
Exactly. Alphabet's $460 billion cloud backlog, or SpaceX's explosive Starlink growth. That data is solid. The fundamentals are undeniably there. But the delivery of the corporate and economic narrative has been chaotic and reactive.
Yeah, the story is a mess.
Warsh recognizes that communicating the why behind the economic pain is just as critical as the data itself. If you don't clearly explain the story and the structure of what you are building, the market will write a panic narrative for you.
It's all about maintaining the narrative thread. So let's bring this all together for you listening right now. What you are seeing with this $500 billion wipeout of Alphabet and SpaceX is not the bursting of an AI bubble.
Yep.
It is not a sign of a failing technology industry. What you are witnessing is the incredibly messy, terrifying, and hyper-expensive construction phase of a brand new global infrastructure. They are digging the foundation for the next century of compute power, and, well, digging a foundation is always expensive, unpredictable, and ugly.
It requires an immense amount of capital and an ironclad tolerance for short-term pain. But before we wrap up, there is a broader implication to all of this spending.
Okay, what's that?
We're watching these mega corporations raise $80 billion here, issue $60 billion in stock there, heavily diluting their own value just to fund these AI data centers. If building the future of artificial intelligence is now so unimaginably expensive that it causes multi-billion dollar panics on the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
And these tech titans are effectively forced to print their own capital to build it anyway. At what point do these companies outgrow the need for public stock markets entirely? If the retail public cannot stomach the daily costs of the future, will the future simply be built in private?
Wow. Are the public markets just too small for the sheer scale of what AI requires? That is a profound question to chew on. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep questioning the headlines, keep looking for the underlying mechanics beneath the numbers, and remember, just because you see a violent, jagged line on the financial charts doesn't mean the whole system is broken. Sometimes it just means the world is growing faster than we can currently measure. We'll see you next time.